The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 2:05 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Dale Gibson and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Lingfield and Pontefract in the afternoon. We have Brighton and Uttoxeter in the evening, and there's also Irish racing from Roscommon as well on Tuesday evening. So five meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Mark.
Good. Coming off the back of a busy few days here at William Hill Radio, John.
I'm going to say listeners will be delighted to hear it's Gordon Brown and Dale Gibson on Tuesday afternoon and not the silly old fool for the fourth day in a row.
I don't know about that, John. But, it's been a good weekend to be in, hasn't it?
Yeah, very good, actually. Good racing and, great fun.
Yeah, we're going to look back at the big race of the weekend, the Eclipse. We're also going to look ahead to next weekend's action a little bit as well, because we're going to do the Monday jury to start with, and then we'll get John's best bets for Tuesday as well. So starting with the Monday jury, John, the Eclipse looked a little bit messy. What can we take from it?
It was a bit messy. What do we take from it? Well, we take the winner was a very good winner indeed. Mocha Dram won excellently. Splendidly ridden by Paul Hannigan. I think he's going to go for the King George. He likes Ascot. I don't see the extra quarter of a mile or so will be a problem. He's a really nailing good group horse, and it was an excellent win for Hamdan Al Maktoum's horse. So that's one thing. Otherwise, I think he was messy, and one or two of the fancied horses did not run up to form. Probably the ground. It was a little bit greasy on top and hard underneath. Clearly didn't suit the Fugue. I don't think it was soft enough for Kingston Hill, and the distance probably not far enough. Northern Dancer disappointed, and Verrazano is probably better over a mile. So you get down to the fact that the best horse won.
Best horse won on the day, yes. Okay, turning our attention to the July meeting then, John. Who do you fancy for the July Cup? We do have betting on site as well at the moment. And Slade Power is 5-2. Due Diligence, 4-1. 7-1 for Al Jamahir and Nuzu Canarius. 10-1 for Soul Power. Hot Streak, 12s. 16s for Astaire and Undrafted. 20-1 for Rex Imperator. And 25-1 or bigger prices the rest.
I thought Aljahammer is nicely weighted in this race, ran well last time, I could improve. I'd love to see Hot Streak win it, but I probably consider that he's best over the minimum trip. He did, however, run on quite strongly in the King's Stand. I think he's a very good horse. Kevin Ryan absolutely determined he's the best sprinter he's had for certainly a very long while. Won the Temple Stakes in good style. 12-1 Hot Streak does actually appeal to me a bit. But I think Slade Power is the power in this contest.
Yep.
I thought he won the Diamond Jubilee really well. Due Diligence very much now the newcomer on the block, perhaps. But I don't really see, Mark, why he should reverse the form. So the obvious winner is Slade Power.
Yeah, Slade Power, everything just looks fine for him, doesn't it? The trip, the track, and that run at Royal Ascot last time. So a worthy favourite then, John, yeah?
I think he's a worthy favourite. I marked him down at the end of last year when I had backed and tipped Jack Dexter in a similar race at Ascot, and I thought Jack Dexter was home and hosed. Then along came Slade Power and absolutely did him in the final half furlong. Since he's never looked back, I think he's got a great chance.
Okay. Slade Power then with a great chance, also a positive mention for Al Jamahir. Moving on to the Falmouth Stakes, the other group one of the July meeting, and Integral is the 7-4 favourite for that one. 2-1 for Sky Lantern, 5-1 for Rizina, Perilong 10-1, 12s for Just the Judge and Mutila, and then 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Integral and Sky Lantern pretty much shorter than the rest of them, John. Do you see it between those two?
Yes, on the whole I do, Mark. An awful obvious sort of suggestions going on at the moment, but yes, I think probably it is between the two. I was with Rizina last time, but I have my doubts whether Rizina will win the Falmouth. Just the Judge is one at a long price who is knocking at the door now, and she might improve enough to get into the frame. Sky Lantern needed the race at Royal Ascot. The current conditions underfoot will suit, provided it doesn't absolutely pour with rain between now and Newmarket. And Sky Lantern will run well. But I am very impressed with Integral. Mm. I was last year, and clearly has improved. And I thought she won the Duke of Cambridge really well. I don't see why Integral should not go on again. Straightforward, really good attitude, and Ryan Moore, of course, in tremendous form. So dull as it ditchwater it is, I will go for Integral.
Integral then to win the Falmouth, and a slightly trickier one now, John. Who do you like in the Bunbury Cup? We've got betting for that actually as well. I'll just relay that. Horsted Keynes, 7-1 favourite. 8-1 for Absail. Ertie Jarl is 10-1 with Field of Dream, Professor and Watchable. AR is 12-1. 14s for Absolutely So, Bronze Angel, Glenn Moss, Louis the Pious, and Zawan, and then 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. Would you like here, John, because it's wide open?
It's wide open, Mark. But yet again, I'm going to go for a market leader. I burnt my fingers at Royal Ascot on Horsted Keynes. I really thought this was a 7-furlong specialist who had everything lined up in his favour to win the 7-furlong race at Royal Ascot. And he got Jamie Spencer on board. And I thought to myself, this is the bet of the week for me. So I opened the wallet and rather foolishly took out several notes and placed them on Horsted Keynes. I was a bit worried when he appeared to be not mulish in the stalls, but causing a little bit of a problem. And I think that's what actually happened. Jamie Spencer was having difficulty getting the horse settled in the stalls. It appeared that he had done so. The gates opened quickly. Where was Horsted Keynes? Sort of second or third last. And you can't really do that in a top-class 7-furlong race at Royal Ascot. And, I'd given up the ghost at halfway, and then suddenly I saw the horse absolutely sprinting through an eye of a needle. And he got done, of course, in the last half-furlong because Louis the Pious had got first run. But Horsted Keynes was finishing like a rattlesnake, and he is a 7-furlong specialist. I don't think he's misbehaved in the stalls previously, assuming that doesn't happen again, and he's not absolutely set to sleep at the back of the field, just kept reasonably in touch. I think he's got pace and the ability over this trip to win. I hope he does. Compensation for Royal Ascot. Horsted Keynes for me.
OK, Horsted Keynes, then the selection for John. Just looking through the ones that have been declared at the moment, there's 62 of them remaining in the Bunbury Cup at Newmarket on Saturday. Russian Realm and Producer, possibly the two biggest profile ones that aren't going to go to the race. So, interesting stuff. Horsted Keynes still in there for now, John, so that's good news. Moving on to the next question. What are your thoughts on the Goodwood Stewards Cup name change?
Disgraceful is my opinion on that score, Mark. Of course, I am a dyed-in-the-wool traditionalist and a chap who'd really like to see the Derby back on Wednesday. I perhaps my word should not be taken seriously, but I know I do think it. To take the word Stewards' Cup completely out of the title, I think is inexcusable. Mm. And I read very carefully what the Goodwood executive had to say, and basically it was that this bookmaking company who were sponsoring had wanted their name to be entirely placed in the title without Stewards' Cup, on the grounds that even if they were sponsoring, people would consider if Stewards' Cup was continued in the title, they would talk about it as the Stewards' Cup rather than the sponsor's Stewards' Cup.
Yeah.
And you could see that. And if they had contributed a vast sum of money to increase the race's value by 100%, you could say, yes, we do understand, and very sad that it is. We'll have to accept it. But they hadn't. I think there's a £5,000 increase in the consolation race. The value of the actual Stewards' Cup that isn't anymore, the Stewards' Cup, remains exactly as it was. So, I'm very much again. In fact, I think the Goodwill Authority have got a great deal to explain.
Okay. You mentioned the Derby going back to Wednesday there, John. Just a bit of news this morning before we started recording this. They're considering moving the Derby to Saturday evening now for increased television audiences.
I'm not a bit surprised, yeah. Mark. I really am not a bit surprised. I mean, for me, as it is at the moment, the Derby is swallowed up in whatever other major sporting activity there is on a Saturday afternoon. So it would be a plus to go to a Saturday evening. In my view, even more of a plus to go to Sunday. But then, of course, there is television problems on a Sunday afternoon. But, I mean, if they could persuade authorities to actually televise the Derby on a Sunday, then I think that would be a great move, because I do seriously think it is absolutely swallowed up on a Saturday afternoon. There's also racing elsewhere, and you know, the place is full of sporting activities on a June Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. Okay, John, final question of this week's Monday Jury. Give us a horse or two that have caught your eye recently.
Yeah, well, over hurdles, there is absolutely no question. The horse which has caught my eye is Nicky Richards' horse, Gold Futures.
Yeah.
I very foolishly did not nap that horse at Market Raisin in the £15,000 handicap hurdle on Sunday afternoon, because I thought, as a novice, going into what was a pretty competitive handicap hurdle, that it was a step too far. It wasn't. He was ridden with great confidence. He won really decisively. And I think he, to me, is a hurdler definitely to watch, possibly for the summer hurdle back at Market Raisin. So Gold Futures over hurdles. And I like Mark Johnston's horses at the moment. I could go through a whole line of them. But the one I really do like is a horse called Alex My Boy. Now, I was with this horse at Musselburgh for the Edinburgh Cup. He looked absolutely magnificent in the paddock. And I thought to myself, Mark Johnston's had four or five entries for this race. Alex, My Boy, looks absolutely splendid. But he got no sort of a run in the Edinburgh Cup. He didn't get off very quickly. He didn't get a clear run. He was hampered. He was switched. And he eventually ran on quite well. But he was finished in midfield. Since then, and he's won a small field race in very good style. If he goes to Goodwood, I think, you know, you should follow Alex, My Boy, in whatever race he goes for.
OK, Alex, My Boy, then, and Gold Futures, the two that stood out for John this week. Let's move on to this week's action, Tuesday's racing. John's picked out three races for us. He's gone for a couple at Pontefract and one of them at Brighton as well. Starting in the 4:30 at Ponty, this is the King Richard III handicap, which is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs for 3-year-olds and over. 13 of them in the lineup here, John, and it is quite an open handicap, this.
Yeah, so just to vary the subject completely, rubbish, I must get it over with quickly. King Richard should be buried in York. There's no question about that. Not in Leicester.
Yeah.
But however, that's irrelevant as far as tipping the winner is concerned in the contest. There are two, I thought, who will be fighting out the finish. Haddadge is one of them. Ruth Carr's horse is absolutely knocking at the door as hard as he can. Ran extremely well two outings ago at Carlisle in a pretty competitive heat won by Ross Say Chancer from Boxing Shadows, running on strongly in third place. On the strength of that, he looked to have a decent chance of Beverly in the race where I napped Bondi Beach Boy, who finished down the field. Had Arch, though, ran on really strongly in that contest from a bad draw, finished third. He comes out again quickly. Ruth Carr's horse is in good shape. I think Had Arch is going to be very hard to beat in this race. I'd like one horse to beat him, though, and that is Nigel Tinkler's a splendid Pontefract specialist, Misplaced Fortune. Now, I did nap this horse last time it ran at Ponty, and she was desperately unlucky. Drawn towards the middle to the outside in that race, and was constantly bumped and banged, but finished really strongly under Sylvester D'Souza to take second place, running on best of all in the closing stages. is. Sylvester retains the ride, or is retained. Misplaced Fortune loves Pontefract, is drawn 6 this afternoon, and I think has got a really good chance. So although Haddarge probably is the form horse, I'm going to go for Misplaced Fortune to actually gain consolation.
Yeah. Yeah, she was really unlucky last time, like you say, John. Shuffled back towards the rear halfway, then she came with a run and she was hampered a furlong out, then she had to switch right and she came with a real late rattle late on and only got beat by 2 lengths in the end after all that trouble. So
it's expensive to follow unlucky horses, but I thought she was very, very unlucky, and she loves Ponty, and I thought it was quite significant that Sylvester D'Souza is back in the saddle, and hopefully there will be better luck at Ponty this time.
OK, moving on to the 5.30 next at Pontefract. This is a Class 5 handicap for three-year-olds over the extended mile. And Eddie Maurice at the top of the field, John, at the top of the weights, comes here in fine form, having won twice recently. Has a penalty to defy, but clearly comes in good heart, John.
A very good heart. You know, Richard Guest is a trainer I can never get right. So probably by suggesting that Eddie Maurice is going to defy the penalty and win again, I'm asking too much. But it's a poorish race, and Eddie Maurice is a horse who's in very good form at the moment. Two outings ago, I thought Nigel Tinkler, Misplaced Fortune Man, had a really good chance of winning a race at Thirsk with his consistent performer Green Zone. And Green Zone ran extremely well, but was simply out-sprinted over the last furlong by Eddie Maurice. Since then, Richard Guest has brought him out once more, and he won equally easily, if not more easily, at Beverley. It's asking perhaps a bit much, but in this modest contest, I thought, with Robert Winston up, Eddie Maurice has got a clear form chance to make it 3 in a row.
Yeah, been revitalised since the visor went back on for his last 2 starts. He has won off 72 in the past as well, John, so he's not gone up massively in the weights. He should still be competitive off this mark, is what I'm trying to say.
I think competitive in what is, as I said before, not a particularly competitive race. Robert Winston riding in very good form. And, yes, I can see exactly why. Connections have brought him out again quickly. Mm. Horse in form, and one who remains at this moment, despite the penalty, on a reasonably correct mark.
Yeah. Green Zone obviously reopposes here as well, John. Hit the crossbar on a couple of occasions. Do you see any reason why that form might be troubled or reversed?
I think Green Zone, if he runs, will actually give Eddie Maurice a very good contest. Green Zone is also declared for Monday afternoon, yeah. And it will be a question as to see whether he turns up.
Okay. Eddie Maurice, then, the selection in the 5.30 at Pontefract. And to Brighton we go for their 6.10. John's final selection comes there, and it's a Class 5 handicap over the extended 5 furlongs, almost 6 furlongs, in fact, for three-year-olds. And 7 of them in the lineup here, John. Which ones are on the shortlist?
Well, obviously, the Hannon Hughes one must be on the shortlist. There's no reason why Fair Ranger shouldn't go very close to winning this race. Was a fair third. I think it was a Chepstow last time out. And Richard Hughes, bearing in mind the tremendous run of Graham Lee, to say nothing of Ryan Moore, he'll be keen to get as many winners as possible.
Yeah.
So Fair Ranger's got to have a very good chance. The Brian Meehan horse, I think it is, Newton's Law, has also got more than a squeak, but there's an awful lot of seconds in front of that one's name, and yeah, it just seems to be a bit of a professional loser. And of course, now, having said that, going to put up as a selection a par excellence professional loser in the shape of Hand Woven. I just feel that Brighton has got a magnetic attraction for Mark Johnston with this horse. Came to Brighton last time. I didn't get a very good run, Hand Woven. It was a day that there was all kinds of jostling on the Brighton undulations, and Hand Woven eventually finished 7th. Had previously shown just a little squeak of suggestion that Hand Woven was going to win when a fair, creditable third at Yarmouth. they've been trying to win a race of this nature with Hand Woven, have the Johnston Company for, well, all this season. Joe Fanning is down at Brighton to ride, and it's just possible, I think, that Hand Woven may at last have found an opportunity to score. Fair Ranger is the obvious choice, but Obstinate Button goes for Hand Woven.
Okay, Hand Woven, then the selection for John in the 6-10. Let's just have a quick summary, Lord Budden, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Well, in the 4:30 at Ponte, we are going for Misplaced Fortune and Sylvester de Sousa. In the 5:30, Eddie Maurice to win for the third time within a very short period. And in the 6:10 at Brighton, the choice is Hand Woven.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, John. Good luck with your selections and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord Budden on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 2:05 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Dale Gibson and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Lingfield and Pontefract in the afternoon, Brighton and Uttoxeter in the evening, and there's also Irish racing from Roscommon on Tuesday evening as well. So plenty of racing to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.